I would like to read in the Gospel by Matthew chapter 3. Matthew's Gospel chapter 3 and verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will truly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Now one more verse from the Gospel by John and chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 29. "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That's all we read. We trust the Lord that a blessing to the reading of his word, and help us tonight to preach the gospel from these two scriptures that we have read. John the Baptist is a very notable character. In the Gospel by John chapter 1 and verse 6, we read that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. John appeared upon this scene, sent by God, to deliver a message, that reached the hearts and consciences of those that came to hear him. The Lord Jesus Christ said concerning John that he was a bright and a shining light, and that there was none greater born of a woman than John the Baptist. Now, John preached, and I would like tonight, by God's help, to take a leaf from John the Baptist's book. John preached in the wilderness. John did not seem to advertise for people to come, but they came in multitudes for to hear this man preach. What drew those people to hear him preach? He had no entertainment. He had no tomfoolery. He simply preached the Word of God. And whenever people are drawn by the Word of God, there's an honest heart searching for something that they don't have. We trust that if you have come to this meeting tonight, and that you have never had a time in your life when you were reached and saved by grace, that this may be the night in which you will seek this great salvation. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Many people would like to be saved, but yet they never get saved. Why? They do not search with all their heart. If you're ever going to be in God's heaven, you need to search with all your heart. Now John preached. His preaching was plain. John preached plainly about sin. John preached plainly about repentance. John preached very plainly about the wrath to come. John preached plainly about the Lamb of God. And we trust by God's help tonight, we'll be able to preach plain and simple, that those who are in our gathering might be reached by the Word of God and saved for eternity. Now John preached plainly about sin. John did not mince his words. And those people that came to hear him, he reminded them of their sin and their guilt before God. John's preaching, it brought results. What was the result of his preaching about sin? People came confessing their sin. That is, his message registered in their souls. Let me ask you kindly tonight. Has the message of the gospel ever registered in that soul of yours? Oftentimes when we visit people, we learn many things. I was in Ireland a couple of years ago. A dear man coming to the meetings who wasn't saved, but his wife was. One afternoon we went to visit them, and I asked the dear lady how she got saved. She said, you know, I was brought up in a Christian home. My parents were saved. But she says, I was married before I got saved. She said, I went to Sunday school, went to gospel meeting every Sunday night. And it was not until after I was married that I found out that I was a sinner going to hell. There may be a person in our meeting tonight. You are accustomed to listening to the gospel. You come and go like the door on its hinges. And yet the word of God is never registered in that heart of yours. Oh, we trust that tonight God may impress your mind with your sin that you might be saved. We ask people sometimes, what would keep you out of heaven? Some say, well, because I don't believe. That's right. Others say, well, because I'm not saved. That's right. What is the root thing that will keep a soul from entering God's heaven? My friend, is her sin. That's the greatest problem in this world. The greatest pollution in this world is sin in the human heart. They're trying to look up the environment, improve the environment around us. But yet deep down in the heart of man, there is that thing called sin. We were born in sin. We were shapen in iniquity. There are no exceptions. The only person who had no sin was the person of God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But John preached plainly about sin, and his message registered in the hearts of these people. A dear man got up in a meeting one night to give his testimony. And he said, very tremblingly, the first time he stood before an audience, he says, friends, It took me 42 years to learn three things. D.L. Moody was a preacher. He sat in his seat and he said, when that man said that, he says, I pricked my ear to catch something that it took a man 42 years to learn, and he was going to tell us in a few seconds. He says, friends, the first thing I learned was that I was a sinner going to hell. Can I pause a moment? Can I ask each one individual in this audience, dear lady tonight, dear boy, dear girl, dear man, have you ever made that great discovery that you are a sinner on your way down to hell? That's a big thing. That's a great discovery to make. That's the first thing the man learned, that he was a sinner going to hell. He said the second thing I learned was this, that there was not one thing that I could do to stop myself from going. Have you ever learned that? That's a big thing to learn. It's a Sunday night in this vast country of Canada, and from coast to coast, there are multitudes of people, and they're going to their place of worship. What for? Trying to earn favor with God for the forgiveness of their sins. And yet tonight, we can tell you kindly and plainly, the discovery that this man made, that there was not one thing that he could do to stop himself from going to hell. Have you ever made that discovery? Have you ever found that out? Or you say, I can believe? Can you? Have you never tried to believe? I tried for years, and it didn't work. But there came a night in my life when I forgot about my leaving, my believing, and I got a look at the crucified one. There's life in a look, even tonight, at the crucified one. But then the man said, the third thing I learned was this, that I didn't have to do anything, that the work had been accomplished. There upon the cross at Calvary, the Savior cried, it is finished. Nothing more needed to be done. The work of salvation complete. God satisfied. I'm satisfied tonight with the sacrifice of Christ. What about you in our meeting? John preached plainly about sin, and they came confessing their sin. You know, whenever a person's sin really grips their soul, it bothers them. We look to the gospel by Luke chapter 18. There we find a publican who had gone to the temple to pray. And a Pharisee went also. The Pharisee prayed with himself. But the publican's prayer, he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What had happened? Oh, his sin lay heavily upon his soul. His sin bothered him. Has your sin ever bothered you? Have you ever thought about the consequences of your sin? What the outcome is going to be should you miss this great salvation? But the publican, with sin bothering him, oh, he would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. But he smote upon his breast, and he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, he just didn't say it once. The man was ashamed of himself because of his sin. Oh, dear soul tonight, it's your sin that will keep you out of God's heaven. But we have a message tonight in the gospel to point you away from yourself to one who can forgive you your sin and save your soul and fit you for heaven at the end of life's journey. Don't preach plainly about sin. Then he preached plainly about repentance. That is owning up to your sin. You see, our nature is we blame the other fellow. And the other fellow's always wrong. And we are always right. Is that right? Well, repentance is owning up to your own sin. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. When the prodigal came to himself, he says, I have sinned. What did the father say? Bring forth the best robe. Would you be willing tonight to own up to your own sin? Not your neighbor's sin, but your sin. John preached very plain that they needed to repent of their sin. That is to acknowledge and admit that they had sinned against God and then to turn from their sin. We find that in Psalm 51. David said, I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And there when he told Nathan, whenever he said to Nathan, I have sinned, Nathan said, the Lord hath forgiven thee thy sin. Oh, is there a soul tonight who is willing to repent, to own up, I'm guilty, a guilty sinner before God, from the sole of the feet, even unto the head, no soundness in me, wounds and bruises, and putrefying sores, and that all my righteousnesses are filthy rags in the sight of God. That's a low place to take. Those are the kind of sinners that get God's salvation. Those who are honest. God never saved a dishonest soul. But those who are willing to admit, I have sinned and sinned against God. Now John the Baptist was an earnest preacher. He preached for results. And may God help us that we may preach for results. John couldn't save, but he had a message that pointed sinners to the Lamb of God. There's no salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Friend, there's only one Savior, and there's only one way to heaven, and we may approach that way many ways, and from many different angles. Yet there's only one way for a soul to reach yonder glory. And that's through the person and work of Christ. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way to heaven is through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. John preached repentance, and they came and repented of their sins. But then there came the Sadducees, and they wanted to be baptized, and the Pharisees. And John reminded them, because you think that you're of Abraham's seed, that gives you a place to be baptized. Those brought up in Christian homes, sometimes many of them think that God is obligated to save them because their parents are saved and their relatives and friends are saved. My friend, God has no obligation to save you. God has been gracious to you. You have listened to the gospel. God has given you opportunities that you might be saved. But there is a great possibility that if you are not saved tonight in this meeting, you could end up in the everlasting burning. The very first family on earth is divided tonight in eternity. There's a king down in hell, and he'll never be out. And yet his parents, they knew the goodness and the kindness of God. They were clothed with coats of skin. They were sheltered by the blood of an animal, and God clothed them and fitted them for his presence. We can think of many families tonight. We can think of David's family, a man after God's own heart. David's in heaven. Absalom, his favorite boy, is down in hell, and he'll never be out. Oh, may it reach your soul tonight. May it touch our hearts. The solemnity of a precious soul going out to meet God without a Savior. Mr. John McCracken and I had meetings in Weymouth when I came to Nova Scotia in 1969. We preached there straight for 26 and a half weeks. There was a young man, 19 years of age, came to those meetings. God began to deal with him about his soul. His sin became a burden to him, and he would have liked to have been saved. But then he mentioned to his mother, she said, you don't need to go to those meetings to get saved. You can get saved in your own church. So he put salvation off. But it came near Christmas, and they cut down some Christmas trees for to ship them to Boston and New York for the Christmas market. They had the truck loaded with trees. They were on the way down to Yarmouth to cross in the ferry to the state of Maine and then to Boston and New York. On the way to the ferry at Yarmouth, came round a corner, there's a dayliner between Halifax and Yarmouth. That truck came round the corner, it hit the tail end of the dayliner and burst into flames. That young man was in that truck. That young man who just a short time before had sat and listened to the gospel. Touched by the Spirit of God, but like many another person, put off salvation until another time. The conductor jumped out of the dayliner. He pulled two young men out of a burning truck. An ambulance was called. They were put in the ambulance. There happened to be a nurse aboard that dayliner, and she went with them. About a half an hour's drive from where the accident took place to the Yarmouth Hospital. On the way, that young man looked at that nurse. Oh, he was in earnest. He says, nurse, don't let me die, for I don't want to go to hell. She says, all right, son, I won't let you die. Before that ambulance reached Yarmouth, Richard Britton was in eternity. The last words that he said, don't let me die. I don't want to go to hell. Do you want to go to hell, friend? If you are not saved, there is a great possibility that you will. You need to get down to business. You need to get right with God before it is too late. Own up your sin and your guilt and turn to Christ for salvation. John was an earnest preacher. He preached about the wrath to come. Not very pleasant to listen to. John believed in an eternal hell. Do you? Go and see a friend in this meeting. Be honest. Do you really think that if you die without a Savior, that there's no more hope, no chance of ever you getting to heaven? According to God's book, if you die without a Savior, your destiny will be sealed forever and ever. That makes it solemn. That's why John the Baptist preached earnestly.
He cut a loaf for the souls of men and women, and boys and girls, and he warned them faithfully to flee from the wrath which is to come. Kindly tonight, we would warn you to flee from the wrath to come. David said on one occasion, there is but a step between me and death. Unsaved friend tonight, only a step between your soul and the everlasting burnings. Are you content in that state? But thank God those that are saved, it's only a step to heaven and to glory forever and forever. John was earnest in his preaching. Now we know that souls that get saved are all in earnest. Every person in this building tonight that's saved, there was that time in our life whenever we were earnest. Now earnestness is not salvation. But there's nobody who is saved, who got saved, who were not in earnest. So if you're going to be saved, you need to be in earnest. The Philippian jailer cried, what must I do to be saved? What made him cry it? Oh, right on the edge of eternity, without a Savior, trembling he cried, what must I do to be saved? Join the church? No. Join the gospel hall? No. My friend, salvation's in a person. Ah, they pointed him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Could we point you tonight to God's beloved Son? There is no salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. John preached about the wrath to come. But then John preached about the Lamb of God. He pointed souls. The purpose that John came into this world. He pointed out the Lamb to the world. And then he sought to point the world to the Lamb. Oh, would to God tonight we could point you to the Lamb of God which beareth away the sin of the world. What a tremendous load of sin was laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's man's ruin. What's God's remedy? The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord laid on Christ my iniquity. How do I know? I know by the word of God. Not my feeling, not my doing. God says it. I believe it. And that settles it. That's what salvation is. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I was thinking of Genesis 22. There was Isaac and Abraham, and they went to Mount Moriah. Abraham built the altar. There he bound Isaac, his son. He lifted the knife to slay that boy. God said, lay not thine hand upon the lad. Behind him he saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horn. He loosed Isaac, brought the ram, placed that ram on the altar, bound it. Isaac stood back. Isaac watched his father Abraham lift that knife. He saw that knife plunge into that animal, the blood being shed. Isaac can say in truth, that ram died in my stead. Ah, dear soul, tonight, let's go outside Jerusalem's walls. Three crosses standing side by side. Oh, what a sight sublime. Two for their own transgressions died. the middleman for mine. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. As Paul viewed the cross, he said, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Was it for me? For me alone? The Savior left his glorious throne, the dazzling splendors of the sky. Was it for me? He came to die. Listen to these words. It was for me. Yes, all for me. O love of God, so great, so free. O wondrous love, I shout and sing. He died for me, my Lord the King. I had meetings this past summer in a tent in North Sydney, Nova Scotia. A girl came to those meetings, a daughter of Christian. And one night in the meeting, why, that was quoted, the part of that hymn. On the way out, she said, Mr. Bigham, I got saved in that meeting tonight through burning, scalding tears, not tears of sorrow, but tears of joy. I said, Mary Beth, how did you get saved? Ah, she says, it was for me. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered and died in my stead for my sin. Is that salvation? Very simple. But if you want salvation, it needs to be first. Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Praying tonight, search tonight. Don't rest until you know it's well with your precious soul. May you do it for his name's sake.